We live in a tremendously incredible era. I remember years ago when Star Wars came out. I'm a science fiction fan anyway, but Star Wars brought things to a new level because of the special effects. And the special effects have only increased since that time. Constantine is a part of that movie industry. He's a part of this, has been part of the special effects for a number of movies. And it's fascinating to me how that works, because it all looks so real. I mean, if you saw Jurassic Park the first time, you'll believe in dinosaurs. And I remember when my wife and I saw The Predator. Remember that one? We saw it at 10 o'clock, and we got out at 11 o'clock, and my wife was afraid to walk to the car. And I said, "Honey, there are real predators out here, you know, that you have to be worried about. But books and TVs and movies, they make anything seem possible. And sometimes we forget that it's fiction. I read not too long ago that there's a church based on Star Wars. A church based on Star Wars, the Force, Jedis, you know, and all this stuff. And I thought, bless your hearts, in the most Southern way. But it is, it's fiction. You know, we believe that, and if you're a Star Wars fan and a Star Trek fan, or, you know, I mean, it's all wonderful. The possibilities seem endless. But sometimes I think we confuse fiction with reality. See, I don't believe in UFOs. I don't believe that there's ever been an alien on this planet, and I don't believe that we'll ever see an alien. I believe there are unidentified flying objects. I don't think they're visitors from another galaxy. And the reason I believe that is because the nearest star system to us would take our astronauts 6,300 years to make the journey. And there's no guarantee there's even a habitable planet there. I don't know how far the next star system is. And yet, there's whole industries made up of, and television programs made up of the idea of aliens. I mean, if somebody abducts you, it's going to be a person, I think. I could be wrong, but you probably are. You believe that. It's just science, because there's no such thing as hyperdrive. There's no such thing as warp drive. There's no such thing as wormhole travel, as far as we know. But you know, in horror films and TV shows, the dead come back to life all the time. I mean, over in Sonoya, Georgia, there's a whole industry about people who were dead but seem to be alive. Yeah. There's some churches like that too, you know. So I think sometimes, I say all that to say this, that sometimes we read about in Scripture the resurrection of the dead, and we grew up with that, and so it can become commonplace. Cindy and I lived on the western slope of the Rocky Mountains back in the early 1980s. And it was stunning to see the geography. And I remember the pastor at the church I served as an associate invited someone from one of the, either CBN or PTL, to come and speak for a week at our church. And he was a well-known speaker. And one of the things he said is he said to the people, to us who are gathered, "You don't appreciate the reality that surrounds you." He says, "I'm from California, and I've never seen mountains quite like this, and the mesas and the high desert." And he says, "It's fascinating. I get up every morning, go look out the window." He said, "But I bet you don't, because it has become common to you. We tend not to appreciate the common." The resurrection of Jesus was an incredible thing. Incredible. Not just simply because he came back to life, but because of what it meant and means to us. So I want to explore for a few minutes the question. What if it's not true? What if Jesus did not rise from the dead? What does that mean? We do believe it. In the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed, a part of that creed says this: he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died — that was important for them to say — and was buried. He descended to the dead. They make that very emphatically, that Jesus was not swooning or he wasn't faking, that he died. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. In the Nicene Creed, which we share together most Sundays, there's a similar statement. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. That's what the church has believed since the beginning. But what if it's not true? What kind of difference does it make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. If the words of the creed and the scriptures are not true, then Jesus was a mere man who was a good man and was a great teacher who was unjustly murdered. And somewhere lie his bones. And if that were to be true, if that were true, then here's how we are affected. We have nothing to preach or proclaim. Nothing. We have no reason to believe. It means that we have been deceiving people to believe a falsehood. It means that no one is going to be raised from the grave. It means there's no point in ever having church. It means that we are all still in our sins. It means that the so-called dead in Christ, they're simply gone. Like an old battery, the energy has run out and rests in a landfill somewhere. That's what it means. And it means that we are one miserable bunch. It also means that you are on your own. It means that there is no hope. And it means that the only wise decision is to give in to despair. That's what it means. Now, back at the height of COVID, the spiritual care department at Piedmont Fayette Hospital asked me if I would be willing to be a chaplain, because there were so many people who were sick and there were so many people who were dying of COVID and COVID-related diseases. The benefit for me is I got a badge that would get me in to see our folks when pastors were not allowed to come in to see their folks. So I did. I saw a lot of death. I saw a lot of people who had either just died and their families were there, or I was called in and I was there when they died. I didn't have to ask if the families, for the most part, I didn't have to ask if they were people of faith. Because if they were, they grieved, but they grieved as people with hope. They grieved as people who believe that whether the life was long lived as one man was about 100 years old, or if it was like the 25-year-old I was with when she died. If they were people of faith, the sadness was real and it was palpable, but it wasn't despair. On the other hand, I was with families who had no faith, who had no assurance, who had only a vague, desperate hope that there was something on the other side. But they weren't sure. I was also with families who were unbelievers. And you'd think when an unbeliever who doesn't allegedly believe in anything beyond this life, that when somebody dies, they just chuck the battery out to the landfill. My husband died. Okay, well, all right, that's done. Let's move on. It doesn't happen that way. There's a sadness and a depth of despair because they believe everything is over. I had a friend who was very proud of being an atheist. He thought I was a deluded, though well-meaning, moron. And when he got a chance, he would poke me with it occasionally. And then he got a terminal disease. And he called me, or had his wife call me, would I come see him? Because his time was almost up. And I went to see him, and he said to me, with this look of longing, he said, David, is it true? I thought I knew what he meant. And I said, is what true? He said, what you believe, is it true? I said, I'm not going to try to convince you with theology and argument and philosophy. Let me tell you what I have experienced and I know for a fact to be real. It was a different tone to that funeral than it might have been otherwise. But it's a real question, isn't it? Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, if Easter is simply a mythical celebration that even the post office doesn't get off for anymore, they were miserable. Let me read the scripture to you that Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. I got to tell you, I don't know how atheists do it. You know, it takes more faith for me to be an atheist than it does to be a believer. But Paul doesn't leave it there. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ, not outside of Christ, also in Christ all will be made alive. Alive to eternal life and alive to this life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's a package deal. Well, what evidence do we have? Well, we do have some evidence, do we not? The disciples were scattered. Two of them he met on the road walking, the road to Emmaus. And for some reason, they didn't recognize him. But then they did. Their eyes were opened. Thomas, who's the doubter, he presents himself to his disciples. Now here's the thing about that. If you've seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ, you have to understand that that's fairly accurate, that portrayal of the torture, crucifixion. In fact, the man who played Jesus was accidentally hit twice with the whip, and it cut a 14-inch gap, 14-inch wound. One strand of that thing cut him. He bears a scar. Jesus was hit with a cat of nine tails 39 times. He was also dehydrated. He was also had nails hammered into his hands or his wrist and into his feet. And if that weren't enough, a Roman soldier rammed a spear in his side. He gave up the ghost, and had he not done that, because it was the Sabbath, the Romans would have broken his legs on the off chance he was still alive, and he was suffocated to death. And so this battered, mutilated, lifeless body that's lost an incredible amount of blood between the torture and the crucifixion is placed in a tomb. But when he reveals himself to the women, to the disciples, to Thomas, and by the way, there's a song, a gospel song that says, the only thing there in heaven that's been made by man's are the scars of my Savior's hand. But the book of Revelation, John said, he said, I saw a lamb standing as though slain. You need to understand those wounds are still there, because Thomas was able to put his finger through the hole in his hands and put his hand in the side where the spear wound was. Still there. But this Jesus walks the road to Emmaus. He greets the disciples. He's totally healthy. He presents himself over time to over 500 witnesses who see him. He's not a battered, mutilated person. A miraculous thing has happened, and he's been physically restored even better, and he's alive. It's a mystery, but it's true. And that's what Paul, that's what the scriptures say, that's what the witnesses who saw him say. And there was a crowd of people who saw him ascend into heaven with the promise of a return. And as significant as his death on the cross was, it is the resurrection of Jesus that is the confirmation and the guarantee that he said that he is who he said he was, and that he is who the church and the scriptures claim him to be, and he is who we believe him to be. He is risen. He is the Messiah. Amen. He is the Christ. Yes. He is our hope. He is our salvation. Yes. Everything depends on him. Yes. So what does that mean for us? It means we have everything to preach about. It means that we have every reason to believe. It means that we have been honest with people. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. It's the truth. It means that the believing dead, your relatives, your friends, the believing dead will be raised from the grave. It means that we are forgiven our sins. It means that the dead in Christ are eternally alive. It means that we are redeemed of God. It means that you are not on your own. It means that there is hope in Christ. And it means that the only wise decision is to choose Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it's why we worship. And it's why we celebrate. That's why we clap. That's why we respond. Because it's true. It is true. And if you don't know that, then you need to.